Thanks, Andrew. As Andrew said, my name is Daniel Kaiser. I'm with the University of Minnesota Department of Soil, Water, and Climate. Before I start, I want to recognize my co-author, Jeff Fetch, who, between the two of us, usually can get ourselves into a lot of research work, which this is one of the studies we've been collaborating on, looking at corn response to phosphorus-based starter fertilizer applied directly on the seed. To give you a little background, in Minnesota, we have a significant number of our growers, particularly in the western part of the state, that utilize seed-based fertilizers just because of the rotations they have. They have several crops that they've seen benefits to it, and with the cool and wet soils they have in those particular areas of the state, just getting that advantage, getting the crop out of the ground, particularly with corn, they like to continue to keep some of the starter fertilizers. There's particularly ammonium polyphosphate within the management strategies within their particular fields. So the reason for this study was to look at variable rate application, and in particular what we wanted to look at were some of our issues in the western part of the state where we have high amounts of calcium carbonate in the surface soils. To give you a little background, in Minnesota, all of our parent materials for the state were formed on calcareous parent materials, but if you look at the actual soils themselves, we have significant variation in terms of the depth of the carbonate layer that has been caused by the gradient of precipitation we have, where we have higher precipitation in the southeastern part of the state and lower precipitation in the western part of the state. So it's not uncommon we get into central Minnesota where we have a lot of the prairie pothole regions where we have pH ranges in these fields that can go from anywhere down from maybe 5.5 up to 8 to 8.5 within some of the lower areas of the field. Then if you get into the far western part of the state where you have soils that behave a lot like the Dakotas, we can get into whole field areas that are above 7.5 and into the 8 and 8.5 range within some of these fields. So whether this has caused for many of our growers have been questions regarding how do they manage phosphorus in these situations, because if we look at soil tests in many of these areas, it's not uncommon to see our soils that are testing very low on an annual basis, and no matter what they do with the their broadcast treatments, it's really hard to maintain a high soil test within some of these given field areas. So their questions really have revolved on then how do we take what management we have and go in and look at how do we modify this to try to get some of the benefits to the band application without physically having to go out there and band dry fertilizer, which there isn't a lot of people doing out there right now. We get isolated pockets within the state, but isn't very common like it is with these in-furrow starter fertilizer attachments on the planter. So with in-furrow starter, I mean, if you look at a lot of the studies, I mean, this should be fairly straightforward. One of the biggest benefits we always get is in the increased early growth, and that's fairly consistent. And if we look at what causes that phosphorus, in particular for us in Minnesota, is probably our main issue, phosphorus availability early in the season with the poorly drained soils we have. We do know there's some issues. With the early growth, then, we typically get an increase in nutrient uptake. Decreased time to silking, we've looked at that in Minnesota. It's about 1 to 2 days for us, no matter when we plant or what hybrid relative maturity we get. It's just a small advantage. It can lead to some other benefits like decreased grain moisture. I'm not going to get into that with this particular study, but we did look at that. And in situations where we have wetter corn at the end of the season, we've seen a bigger advantage. It tends to be about 0.5% on a grain moisture basis if we're above about 20% moisture at the end of the season. But if we get in situations where we have a longer growing season, this particular benefit, we really don't see that occur. And then we look at increases in grain yield. This is really our lowest probability. And a lot of the data I've done, particularly when I was started researching in Iowa and moved up to Minnesota, it's one thing we saw that a lot of these grain yield responses were really tied to those areas of the field that already had low soil test phosphorus or potassium levels within the field. So it wasn't really surprising. It's one of the things we wanted to look at, though, with the impacts we see with early growth in Minnesota to see if potentially in more northern climate, you know, would that starter effect on early growth have a bigger impact. But when I started getting into the study, I think I was going on the conclusion that we were going to see a lot of the same that we saw, that a lot of our grain yield increases were still going to be tied to the areas of the field that had the lowest soil test phosphorus within these given fields we studied. So we started the study back in 2012, and the primary question was the ammonium polyphosphate. We had at least one comment from one of my longtime cooperators was, should we be increasing our rates in these high pH soils? And it made sense from the standpoint of phosphorus fixing capacity that they may want to look at a higher rate of banded fertilizer application. But one thing we know with in-furrow application is that we can only go so high. So it's balancing that high rate with the maximum levels we can put on where we start seeing seed damage is really one of the things we needed to do. When I started looking at the study initially, we were going to go into fertilized fields and look at these ranges in application rates. But then I kind of started looking at the data we had, and if we have a high enough phosphorus rate, every time we've done these type of studies that we've been able to increase our yield to a maximum, we really haven't seen much of an impact of that in-furrow starter if we had a high enough broadcast rate. So one of the wrinkles we put into this before we started this particular study was to start looking at it with and without broadcast. And one of the questions we've been getting has been looking at rented ground with some of these low input strategies like in-furrow. One of the questions we could address then is looking at whether or not we could get away with an in-furrow only on a short-term basis within some of these particular areas of the field. So 10 locations, and we ended the study in 2015. We're looking at 0, 23, 46, and about 70 liters per hectare of ammonium polyphosphate, or 10-34-0 or 10-15-0 if you look at NPK. We applied it then either with or without a rate of 0 or 59 kilograms of P per hectare. So the rate we are targeting for the broadcast rate was a recommended rate or above the recommended rate for our low soil test classification. So I wanted to flood the system with phosphorus to see if there was any additional benefit if we applied enough phosphorus within these given fields. So let's give you an idea of the treatment layout. 16 replications. The way we did this, we came in first with a broadcast applicator and laid down our broadcast treatments. We were testing out a system we had with RTK to try to see what we could do in terms of going away from our traditional strip trials, which are a single rate strip across the field. The blue dots represent where we took 0 to 15 centimeter soil samples, so we were taking about 4 per replication. And then we overlaid the starter treatments with the planter and the season. So that's at 0, 2.5, 5, 7.5. Those are in the gallons per acre rate, but they correspond to those liter per hectare rates that I had on the first slide. We're looking at the Olson test and the Bray test. The data I'm going to show you, though, when we started looking at breaking these responses out, is just going to be based on the Olson only, because we had some of the areas of the field that the carbonates within those field sites neutralized the Bray, where we're getting less than 1 part per million extracted from those particular those areas, and we're not getting a good estimate of what that phosphorus availability is. So what I'm going to show you, again, is only going to be based on the Olson test. And again, all this was applied right directly on the seed in-furrow, so if I refer to starter, it refers to an in-furrow placement within these given field trials. So early growth, though, this was pretty typical. Again, if we look at it, we apply phosphorus, we put in a band, we increase early growth. This is just showing the response we had with and without the broadcast. The interesting thing when we look at a lot of these studies, we apply broadcast, even with the broadcast application. We see an increase with the broadcast only, but we still see some of the stair-step effects with that in-furrow starter. So with a lot of our growers, this is what they see in the field, and when you start looking at a lot of they look at the benefits of starter, this is one of the things they can see in the field, and they think that, well, this is hopefully going to turn into a grain yield response, which it really seldom does, but it's there and it's pretty consistent across a number of our field locations. So the questions we were really trying to address, we can kind of break down into 5 questions. Did broadcast increase yield? I mean, we had some low testing areas, so yes, it did. I mean, we look at the data, it was pretty clear. What did that vary by soil test phosphorus classification? So that interaction, we were expecting that, and it varied, and that was one of the things we saw. Starter did increase yield. Did it increase it with broadcast? And this is the one where I figured we were going to see it, the fact that we weren't going to see any benefit of starter with that broadcast application. And that was pretty clear across the given sites we had. And this is the one that we had that I was a little bit surprised on, was that bottom point. And this is one of the things, I was figuring if we saw a response to the broadcast by soil test classification, if the response we were seeing to the starter was due to the phosphorus, that we'd also see the same thing with the starter. And overall, the starter was more consistent impact across our soil tests than the broadcast application. So this was kind of surprising on the end in terms of seeing that particular effect that I wasn't expecting based on some of we've been looking at in the past with some of the research studies. So as far as the data, this is kind of the only thing we're going to look at here, looking at the three-way interaction. This is looking at broadcast by starter by soil test, and again, this wasn't significant. So if you look at the data, I really can partition it out into two main effects with two two-way interactions. So the top one is the effect we saw of starter with and without broadcast. So you can see on the left on that particular slide where we have a incremental increase in, this is relative corn grain yield, so relative to the yield maximum of each of the sites. Then we can see an increase to the starter, a bigger increase to the low rate, and smaller increases to those incrementally higher rates. Then if you look at the broadcast, you can see some jumping around of the actual relative yield levels, but overall, no significant response to the starter within those broadcasts. If we applied enough phosphorus with the broadcast treatments, we really didn't see much of an advantage from the starter. And again, this didn't surprise me based on some of the past research data. So looking at the bottom then, this is just looking at the relative yield effects of the broadcast for the given soil test classifications. And as expected, as we look at increasing soil tests, we see that we can increase the relative yield values. We look at the very low being the situations where we saw a greater response to the broadcast phosphorus. And we're seeing responses actually to the broadcast up to about our high classification, which on the Olson test, the lower end of the high is around 8 part per million. It's actually around 12 part per million on the high classification. So we're looking at it, seeing some probability of response. And if you look at some of our previous data we've been collecting, we would expect about an 85% chance that we're going to see a measurable yield response in that very low to low. And this wasn't really showing us anything different than what we were seeing with some of the previous data. And again, the surprising impact, though, was that response to starter. And one thing I didn't say in the methods when we went through that is we weren't balancing out the nitrogen in the starter. So we're getting somewhere around 2.5 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare for each of those incremental rates of starter. One of the things I was wondering on that, and the reason I didn't do that, is I wanted to see if some of the starter impact that maybe some of these growers were seeing was due to the nitrogen. But if you look at the data with the broadcast treatment, since we weren't really seeing any increase at that particular point in time, I don't think we were seeing any response to the nitrogen. We kept our broadcast nitrogen rates fairly high to be in the non-limiting range, so we weren't really expecting it. But it's one of the possibilities we had that we were wondering in the end. We start looking at if we were seeing a response to starter within those broadcast treatments. So that really wasn't there. That wasn't anything that... With the rates we applied, I really wasn't expecting consistently. So it really wasn't telling you that we're seeing maybe some differences in terms of how we're seeing these responses occur. So possibly that in-furrow band was giving us some additional response other than the broadcast treatment with that broadcast phosphorus alone. What we saw for rates here, I think, when we start looking at it, I think was probably the biggest thing we saw out of this particular study in identifying what that optimum rate would be. And if you start looking at the data itself, you can see, again, if we look at going from the 23 to 46, seeing some bump in yield and a slightly higher yield with that 46 to 70. But if you look at individually within a number of our sites, when we start getting to that 70 liter per hectare rate, we start to actually see some decreases in population. So I'm looking at what I recommend to growers based on this, really probably not seeing much of an advantage. We start looking at increasing that risk for stand loss of going to that 70 liter per hectare rate versus that 46. And the 46 is really what's been most common with most of our growers. So if I'm looking at a lot of this data, I mean, most of the recommendation, if you look at variable rate application, I'm probably looking at varying more between that 23.4 to that 46.8 liter per hectare rate for our recommendations at this point in time. So we look at summary. I mean, increased early growth does not indicate where increase of yield will occur. We kind of knew that. Yield really was dictated by the soil test in some regards. From the starter, though, we're really not seeing that much kind of falling to play. We're still seeing some advantage from that in-furrow, again, from that low rate. Really, starter should supplement your entire fertility program. This is one of the things I've really been trying to stress to a lot of our growers, especially with the cost per unit nutrient of starter being slightly higher for the broadcast. They really need to factor these things in. The decreased grain moisture is one of the other factors, again, that we looked at, but I didn't summarize that in here because we start looking at it, it's really hit or miss depending on the year. But we're still looking at not banding increased rates of these starter rates in addition to our broadcast, it really isn't giving us an additional benefit from that, from the decrease in grain moisture. So a couple questions that came out of this, looking at some of our more consistent benefits, and we do see some benefits in some of the rotations of corn with sugar beets, for that might throw some of this out the window in terms of the rate recommendations or the consistency of the response. We do know there's some issues with mycorrhizal colonization in that particular rotation that we see more consistent benefit in some cases in some of the fields. So really looking at it in terms of how best you should really balance it, I think, is really the question with the starter versus the broadcast treatments. And one of the things we need to really identify is that efficiency of the starter bands just because of the overall cost. So I think that's kind of the further question to look at a lot of this. If we look at the rate we put on, should have been more than enough for the crop. Now, if we start looking at dialing that rate back, is there an optimum rate of broadcast and starter that will give us some of the economic benefits? And I think that's really the big question that's come from this particular study, is that we can see that there's some benefits, but it's really dialing that in more to try to see where the economics fall into place, because that's really the biggest thing to get into these growers, and one of the biggest questions we have with in-furrow starters on the economic side with low commodity prices is really, do I need it? So we know there's some benefits out there, but we have a lot of data that we could go both ways in terms of what our recommendations would be. So with that, I kind of want to thank you. A couple of our sponsors, Fluid Fertilizer and Minnesota Corn, they've been instrumental for this, for keeping this going, and probably continue on some of this starter. I wonder why we do it on an annual basis, but again, just with the grower questions we have, there's a demand for some of this research. So with that, do we have any time for questions?
Time for one.
One question.
One question.
What was your method of application of the starter?
What we're using for the starter application, the question was on the method of application. We actually were using rebounders on the planter for that. So the starter actually just came in a tube over the back and just was dribbled right over on top of the seed in the furrow.
So it is direct seed?
It is direct seed contact with that.